for the Cleveland Indians. Leading off, playing second base, Johnny Temple. Jimmy Pearsall in center field, batting second. Batting third, playing left field, Tito Francona. Doing the catching and batting cleanup, Johnny Romano. Willie Kirkland will be in right field, batting fifth. Vic Power, batting sixth, playing first base. At shortstop, batting seventh, Woody Hills. Mike Delahose will be at third base, batting eighth. And Barry Latman pitching and batting ninth. For the Yankees, leading off at second base, Bobby Richardson. Tony Kubek at shortstop, batting second. In right field, batting third, Roger Maris. Mickey Mantle batting cleanup in center field. In left field, once again, batting fifth, Johnny Blanchard. Elston Howard doing the catching, batting sixth. At first base, batting seventh, Bill Scarron. Cleve Boyer back in action again at third base, batting eighth. And Whitey Ford pitching and batting ninth. The umpires, Frank Umont calling balls and strikes, Joe Linsalata at first, Bob Stewart at second, and Charlie Berry over at third. Both pitchers have completed warming up. The ground crew has finished smoothing down the infield. Everything's about ready to go. And just a reminder, do you have plenty of... Take a look at the standings. The magic number now for the Yankees is 11. Any combination of Yankee wins or Detroit defeats, that total 11, and the Yankees are in. New York now 10 games ahead of the Detroit Tigers, 13 ahead of Baltimore, 20 ahead of Chicago, 26 and a half ahead of the Indians, 29 and a half ahead of the Red Sox, 35 ahead of the Angels, 36 ahead of Minnesota, 44 and a half ahead of Kansas City, and 45 and a half ahead of Washington. And the Yankees, with 97 wins to their credit right now, have already matched their total number of victories in 1960, when they won 97 and lost 57 and won the American League pennant by 8 games. Wow, you can see the brand of ball the other teams are playing. So, this is a good time for the Yankees to have had that hot streak. They're about ready to go, and they're trying to get somebody to lead them out, but they all go in unison this time. Dykes is still talking with Charlie Berry, who will be umpiring at third today. But right now, our national anthem. Start of this ball game, and alongside me, the gentleman who's going to take you along the start of the game, Red Barber.
Phil, will you explain something to me? I understand that when Dykes told Latman he was going to pitch the first game,
yeah,
and then he kind of went back in his office, that six of the Cleveland players formed a circle around Latman and started to sing All Lang Syne. What's the meaning of that?
Well, they figure he's going to join the club today. Or should old acquaintance be forgotten? imagine that's what it was, because last time Lattman pitched against the Yankees, he did very well. Neither Mantle nor Maris got a home run. Ball players really tease each other.
Oh, they sure do.
You know, people on the outside might think it's kind of rough to tease a fella like Lattman, who's done a good job, but it's all in fun, and they're actually trying to relax him a little bit.
Did the Yankees ever tease you when you were playing?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Many times. I remember the first time I hit a home run, came into the dugout. There was nobody sitting on the bench but Joe McCarthy, and I couldn't convince any of the other players that I had hit a home run. They said they were all inside, and they didn't believe it.
Well, at that, I think ball players are very practical psychologists. The thing of a sense of humor certainly does break the tension. Now we have Johnny Temple to be first up. Whitey Ford going after win number 24. Had the big day out here yesterday. He was deeply touched by it. Johnny Temple. Well, a tough man to pitch to, hitting 280. Slow curve is good for the call strike. That's Umont with the duty back of the plate today. Then Salata down at first. Charlie Berry is at second. Stewart is at third. There's a ball that is hit into right center field and safe for a base knock. Temple makes the turn. He's on his way to second. Here's Mantle's throw, and Temple's in there for a double. Puts the ball in the hole, right center. So that starts it off. The Indians have lost their last 16 games here at the stadium. Said Berry was at second and Stewart at third. Just reverse that. Make that Stewart at second and Berry at third. Jimmy Pearsall hitting for a high average, 326. Takes the curve low outside, ball one. First man up has doubled the start of the first game. Got a tremendous crowd here at the stadium. Full curve is grounded foul outside third base to the coacher, Luke Appling. Mel McGaha coaching over at first. Ford is starting in the first game. Daly will start in the second. Lattman goes in the first game for Cleveland, and Perry will pitch the second one. Howard catching. John at first. Richardson is at second, Kubek at short, and Boyer, after a day out with a bad knee, is back at third. Mighty deal, the curveball hit down to short. Kubek up, holds the runner at second, throws over to first, and Pearsall is out by a wide margin. So we have one away, and here is Tito Francona, hitting 293. Most hits on his ball club, 158. The outfield for the Yankees, Blanchard is in left, Mantle in center, and Maris, who hit 56 yesterday, is in right. And when you mention Maris and Mantle, that's one of the reasons why you've got this big crowd. Francona cuts to the sidearm curve. Strike one. The folks are here. And this crowd today sends the Yankees considerably ahead of their season's home attendance last year. And, of course, there are the five games remaining the last week of the season. Two with Baltimore, three with Boston. Four deals, a curve low outside. Left-handed pitcher, left-hand hitter. One ball, one strike. We have a light breeze, which is blowing out toward left center. Speaking of Maris and Mantle, counting the doubleheader today, they have 12 games remaining
under the ruling by the commissioner to go for Babe's record of 60. Ford came down with a high inside change of pace that was sinking. Francona waved at it. Strike two. The commissioner ruled some time ago, if you're not familiar, that Ruth's record must be done in 154 games. American League playing 162 this year. So that was the number of games that Babe played in when he said it. There's a ground foul outside third. Still 1-2. One ball, two strikes. Taking the sign from Howard, who is using a sequence pattern with a runner at second, who can see his fingers as well as the pitcher. 1-2 delivery. Swung on. There's a fly ball into short right. Here is Maris coming in. He's under it. He has it. Now we have two down. Ford slowed up on it. Francona didn't hit it squarely. You hear it clunk. Now we have John Romano, the catcher, hitting at 297. And Ford, of course, will be very careful with him. Runner at second base, two out. Romano got hit on the left foot yesterday. Foul ball. They have no score. This is a big crowd, but you don't hear it in the microphone. But you wait until the Yankees come to bat in the last of the first inning and the M boys swing into sight. Then your ears will tell you something. Pitch. Slider. Good for a call strike. Just above the knees on the inside. Romano steps back out. I don't think he appreciated the call too much. He's distant with Umont a little bit. Not for long. He's in there again. Pitch is a ball. It was a curve breaking low inside. Romano started the swing and checked his swing. And as he started the swing, Umont started with his right hand, and then the batter checked his swing in time. He brought the right hand down again. One ball, one strike. That's a rough job calling balls and strikes back of the plate. There's a line drive that is hit into left center for a base knock. Here's Temple around third. Lance is throwing to the plate, but not in time. Boyer tries to cut it off. The ball kicks away. Howard receives it. Romano saves it first, and it is 1-0 Cleveland. A line single and a long one to left center field. Blanchard had no chance. No chance to stop the run. So one in for the Vistas. You heard a bit of a murmur reaction from the crowd then. One run, two hits for Cleveland. And here's Kirkland. Hit a home run out here yesterday for Cleveland. Willie batting 258. Left hand hitter. Takes a strike over the inside. Hand high. Kirkland gets his forward foot, his left one, just about as close to the plate as he can, and then points his forward foot to the second baseman. So it's a crowding, open stance. There's a ball bouncing away from Howard, and Romano lopes on down to second base. The pitch was low, and it charged a wild pitch on Whiting. So he is behind a run, and now with a wild pitch, he has a runner at second base. That's the pickup point at home. One ball, one strike. Skies are all clear. There's just a little haze, but it's basically a blue and white pattern. 1-1 delivery. Low outside, a curve, ball two. Howard having to go down to his left. Sound of a plane passing by. 1-0 Cleveland. Here's the start of the big day. Pitch swung on, a ground ball hit foul outside first base. That's 2-2. In essence, the Kirkland is what the Indians have for Colavito. They traded Colavito for Keene, and a year later traded Keene to San Francisco for Kirkland and Antonelli. And then they sold Antonelli, who couldn't win for them. Milwaukee. 2-2 pitch, swung on late as a foul in the lower left field stand. 2-2. Two strikes. 2-2 delivery again. High outside, ball three. Whitey slowed down the speed of the pitch. Delivery. Swung on. There is a looper in the short center field. It's dropping for a base hit. Romano's coming in with a second run. And they just throw the ball to second base. Kirkland looped it for a single, and it is 2-0 in favor of Cleveland until the wild pitch crossed the second run as it now stands. Enable Romano to get down to second base where he could come in. Vic Power hitting 263. In a severe crowd, right hand batter. Swings and hits it in the right field stand foul. We have a tremendous battery of photographers. Everything that Marich does will be photographed. Pitch, low inside, slider, 1-1. Ball and a strike. Whitey has been using breaking stuff. I haven't seen him throw his fastball. Kirkland off first, and forward moves over there, and Kirkland steps back. 2-0, favor the Indians. Foul ball in the right field stands again. He reached for a change of speed, low outside pitch. 1-2. Position checks the run at first, pitches. Another foul results in the first base stand. He is pitching power outside, and Vic is reaching for them and fouling them into the right field stand. Is a curveball which is hit out into left field. Short left has Blanchard coming on. He can't get there. And here's Kirkland coming to third base, and they stop him. And Power comes in to second with a double. It was a fly ball, not deep, that landed about 10 feet fair inside the left field line. The outfield had been pushed back toward right. And Blanchard had no chance. The ball dropped when he was still 3 feet, three running steps away. So, Kirkland is held by Appling at third. Four hits for Cleveland. Now I have Woody Held. He had a home run out here yesterday. He's batting 265.
The Yankee bullpen begins stirring. A change of pace is high outside. Ball one. Pitch is a change. Swings on it, doesn't get it. First base is open. Runners at second and third. Whitey deals low inside. Ball two. Now, that is the hardest that he's thrown a ball. Phil, Whitey seems to be struggling. I haven't seen him throw hard.
No, I haven't either. Maybe he was unloading all those gifts he got yesterday. Red might have tired him out.
All right, 2-2. Hit out into center. Mantle comes on and makes a one-handed catch. It took a strong play to get out of the inning. Well, that's an ovation for Mantle's catch. He caught it right off the grass coming in at top speed on the score end of half an inning. Cleveland 2 and the Yankees now to hit.
Atlantic Imperial, the quality gasoline that cleans your carburetor as you drive, is now backed by the Clean Carburetor Test. We're so sure you'll agree that Atlantic Imperial gasoline improves your car's performance, but we're inviting you to prove it without risking an extra penny. Here's how Atlantic Clean Carburetor Test works. Use 100 gallons of Atlantic Imperial and ask for a receipt with each purchase. If you're not completely satisfied that Atlantic Imperial gives you smoother idling, less stalling, and generally improves your car's performance, just mail the receipt to Atlantic. We'll pay the difference between the cost of 100 gallons of Atlantic Imperial and regular gasoline. And that's all there is to it. You'll like the difference Atlantic Imperial makes, or we'll pay the difference. Start using Atlantic Imperial soon.
Now, in the last of the first inning, had Coates and Clevenger warming up in the Yankee bullpen. Whitey was struggling there in the first inning, and it took a stellar catch by Mantle to get the third out. All right, we have Bobby Richardson first up. 2-0 Cleveland. Bobby hitting 269. Lettman curves him low outside. Ball one. Batman has won 12, lost 4. He has beaten the Yankees once this year. That would have to be at Cleveland. The Indians haven't won a ball game at the stadium this year, and the Bulls of last. They've lost the last 16 they've played here. Pitch is low, ball two. All right, two balls, no strikes. Lettman, strong right-hander, delivers. Good for a strike just above the knees. Romano is catching him. Power is at first base. Temple at second. Shortstop is held, and the third baseman is Mike Delahoe. Low outside, ball three. Delahoe is playing in place of Phillips, who got hit on the left hand early in the Friday night game. Antona in left, Searsall in center, Kirkland in right. 3-1 delivery. Low ball four. Bobby's on. Now Kubek steps in, hitting at 276. The birthday boy, Roger Maris. He's 27 today. Moving out now into the on deck circle. Graceful left-hand batter. Infield double play depth. Chapman buzzes the inside under the hand for a call strike. Chapman first came up with a White Sox. As a curveball grounded down to second, Temple up as it goes back to second and short to get one and throw to first. Double play. Held was moving down that second base. He had to make it. Now, do you hear the crowd as Maris moves into batter's box? Inside. Ball one. Maris hitting 271. It's a long foul in the upper right field stand. And of course, the minute he swung and the ball took off, fans didn't wait to see. They oohed and awed. He's the big attraction. One ball, one strike. Outfield well around toward right. Lapman pitches high outside, just misses ball two. Three infielders on the right side. Maris is the most pronounced right field hitter, full hitter that we have in the league. 2-1 delivery. Swung on. There's a high fly ball into right center field. Not too deep. Preston under it. Right fielder takes it. Well, that's the third out. And thanks to the double play following the walk, there was nothing across last of the first inning. So the score at the end of the first is Cleveland 2 and New York nothing. Other games. The Tigers, who got out of their losing slump yesterday at Boston, failed to score their first at-bat up at Boston. Single game. Mossy for Detroit and Conley for Boston. Mossy recently has lost, I think out of his last five decisions, he has lost 3 1-0 ball games. Now that is really calculated to sweeten his spirit. Washington at Baltimore, no score in the half an inning. McLean versus Estrada. Chicago will come in later from Los Angeles. There's a doubleheader, Minnesota at Kansas City, which will start later. In the National League, we have Philadelphia at Chicago, Pittsburgh at Milwaukee, St. Louis at Cincinnati, Los Angeles at San Francisco, and they are all coming later. The lead in the National League is now 3. Cincinnati winning in 12 innings yesterday, and San Francisco dumping the Los Angeles again. The lead in the American League is 10. Now we have Mike Delahoz hitting 270. Swings it forward, slow curve, and fouls it. Third base coach sees it, throws it out. It's the last day at the stadium for the Yankees until they're back Tuesday night, September 26th, with Baltimore. Then the following Wednesday afternoon. The Red Sox series is Friday night, September 29, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday. 4 deals, and the pitch is high outside for ball 2. 2-1. 2 balls, 1 strike. ground foul outside of third. Ball bounced up into the sand. Quite a scramble. Two and two. That's the count. This is the start of inning two. First of two, and Cleveland leads 2-0. Whitey delivers, and there's a ball hit out to right center. Mallow going over, and he's there. Has it. And the pitcher, Lapman, is getting ready now to come out of the dugout. The White Sox traded him to Cleveland, you recall, for Herb Score. Score is out in the Coast League. San Diego trying to regain his some measure of control. He has never been able to get straightened out since he was struck by Mike Zibel's line drive. Batman has 4 hits for 49 at bat. Hitter. Ford's slow curve picks up the outside for a call strike. Left hander works. Curveball is in there again. Strike two. Right over. Cuts the heart of it. Pitch is. There's a fastball on the outside. Ball one. Standing out in the sun. It fires a great deal. Loses considerable weight when he pitches. There is a foul tip. He was swinging on a sinker. And Lapman is sort of twisting his right arm as though he pulled something back behind the shoulder blade. Now he moves in. Okay, still 1-2. Ford works. Strike three called. He got the slider on the outside. Lapman walks away. The Whitey's first strikeout today. This time's in the Pasquale at 185 each. Temple has started the game with a double. Takes a quick curve in for a call strike. John hitting 282. A full change of pace, and he checked his swing. One ball, one strike. When he throws that full change, the ball drastically drops. It appears to be a screwball. There's a curve inside ball two. The Whitey says, no, it is not a screwball. He said, because I do not give my hand the reverse twist. It may look like it, he says, but it's not. Two-one pitch. Swung on line foul outside left field. 2-2. And a deal. There is strike three swinging. That was that change again. So that gives Whitey two strikeouts, 186 for the season. And the score at the end of an inning and a half. First game, Cleveland 2, New York nothing.
Today, more and more motorists are enjoying better energy. engine performance thanks to Atlantic Imperial gasoline. But now you can try Atlantic Imperial in your own car without risking an extra penny. How? With Atlantic's 100-gallon clean carburetor test. Every time you buy Atlantic Imperial, get a receipt from your dealer. Then after 100 gallons, if you're not satisfied with generally better engine performance, return those receipts to Atlantic. They'll send you the difference in cost between 100 gallons of Atlantic Imperial and regular gasoline, no questions asked. Start using Atlantic Imperial today.
Mantle steps in. Crowd just let out a roar. He made his way to the plate. He gets right-hander Lapman. Cleveland, Mickey, of course, the switcher, is batting left-handed. Mantle hitting 324. Swings and fouls it back. With a sharp curve, he broke right down in there. 2-0 in favor of the Indians. Wally Moses coaching in first. Frank Cicchetti at third for New York. Fastball is high outside. 1-1. They do not overshift his ratchet into right on Mickey as they do on Roger. Curve is outside, ball two. 2-1. Lapman with the winningest percentage of any of the Cleveland pitchers. He's 12-4. Strong right-hander deals, and Mantle swings at the long drive to left center. There's Santana going back. It's over the cross. Just a split second ahead of the throw from the strong arm shortstop held. And then Delahose claimed, and then Dyke went down to back him up, that Mantle in his slide didn't quite get third base. But Charlie Berry, who was right in position to see it, says, yes, he did. So it is a triple for Mantle, deep in the left center off Francona's glove. He went back as far as he could. Yankee hit. The Mantle left his sixth triple, and here is John Blanchard hitting at 311. We have nobody out. Last of the second inning. Hatfield caught right on Blanchard. Swings at the ball. That gets the ball game even at 2-2. That's his 20th home run for the Yankees, driving to set a new team total of home runs at 217. The old mark is 221. And here's Howard. take the curve for a call strike. Alston, with his magnificent percentage of 362. Man, that Blanchard hit that ball in the third deck. The only thing you had to wait to be sure it stayed payoff. Curve is strike two, half swing. Boom. Triple and a home run. Ball even, two and two. Crowd is still buzzing. Strike three, sidearm curveball. Power is struck up. Unless the weather interferes, the last 3 days of the year, this is the last doubleheader for the stadium. This is the last one scheduled. And the crowd is out here to see it. There's Gowron. Swinging, hit the ball to right center field. And two for a base hit. Hits the wall on the first bounce. The Moose comes in the second base with a double. Boy, they didn't leave their bats in the clubhouse. So the Moose hit a line drive right up the alleyway in right center field. In the second. Now we have Boya, third baseman. The Yankees have won their last 10. Hetman checks the runner at second, one down, pitches. Boya hits the curve. It's a high foul up by first base. Powell comes over close to the stands and makes the catch. So we have two out. Now Whitey Ford a moment ago was behind 2-0, and now he walked up to the plate. Even. Whitey has 16 hits. John was two out. He's down off second. Into the dirt, and Romano blocked it with his chest. Ball one. Boy, they have some fellas in this lineup that can really hit that ball. Pitch is inside, ball two. Two nothing pitch in there for a strike. Blanchard has become a very remarkable ball player this year. I've just asked our statistician, Bill Kane, to do a little medical formula. A 2-1 pitch, high, ball three. He's going to figure out for us the ratio of Blanchard's home runs for times at bat contrasted with Madeline Merritt. So here's Blanchard with 20. Well, I can tell you this right now, if you want to do it. Let's see, he's got a fist of Whitey 3-1. He does. Gets it over for the strike. Mantle has been up 479 times and has 52 home runs. Marish has been up 521 times and has 56. These are official at bats. Whitey swings, hits the ball through the middle. The base hit. John is coming around third and scores, and the Yankees go ahead 3-2, and Whitey puts himself one up. Blanchard has been up officially 197 times and has 20 home runs. Well, saw Whitey Ford. Puts himself ahead 3-2 with a single through the middle, his 17th hit. He's an excellent hitting pitcher. And for Whitey, that's his ninth run batted in. Now we've got Richardson up there. Walked in the first inning. Swings and hits the pitcher, and the ball comes out into left field. Ford stops at second base. Richardson's line drive struck Lapman on the right side of his body. It caught him in the midst of his follow throw. He couldn't move his hand. It hit him, I think, right around the rib. But it happened so fast, it could have hit him in the stomach. Now, there's the trainer running out. Stops the run out, and then the pitcher says no. Wally Fox, the trainer, now is going out. Dyke told him to go out there and see where that ball hit Lapman. And it ricocheted through the hole between third and short into left field. Now the trainer talking to the pitcher. He actually hit him. The Yankees have come up now with five base hits here in the last of the second. Scorsese reminding Ford on his second, two men are out. Here's Kubek at the plate. Swings and hits the ball down the right field line. It is a ground rule double. It bounces in. Ford scores. Richardson is held at third. And Dykes is on his way out to the mound. Will hit next the ninth man in the inning. He wears number nine. The ground rules double for Tony. That gives him 43 runs batted in. The Yankees 4 and the Indians 2. Cleveland got out in front 2-0, and then the Yankees on their second opportunity. Whacking Lapman. Here's a funny situation. There's a new pitcher coming in for Cleveland. When a manager goes out to remove the pitcher, you know he's going to do it when he says, "Give me the ball." And the manager takes the ball away from the pitcher, that's it. Dykes goes out there, but the ball that Kubek hit bounced in the right field stands, and you know these spectators don't throw him back. So all of a sudden, Dykes wants the ball. It's a symbol of his change, and also he wants to hand the ball to the new pitcher, and he has to come down to the plate umpire to get it. This is Bobby Locke walking in. He's relieved previously in this series. The Lapman running. Locke has gotten the ball from Dyke. Lapman has walked away. It is 4-2 favor the Yankees. Runners are at second and third. Two men are out. The inning has lasted 12 minutes. Because I know we started right at 2:30. Matt has stepped in. And I thought, well, I'll wait and make the station break. End of the second inning. Be all right. Haven't got to the end of the second inning yet. Maris on his birthday is 27. In the first inning, he hit a routine fly ball to the right fielder. Now, Bill Kane worked out these figures. Mantle this year is hitting a home run every 9 official at-bats. Maris is hitting a home run every 9 3/10 official at-bats. And Blanchard is hitting a home run every 9 8/10 official at-bats. Generally, they're about hitting in the same tempo. When you get into that back of that decimal point, it doesn't mean very much. In case you wonder about the discrepancy of the at-bats between Mantle and Maris, it tells you that Maris gets more balls to swing at because they walk Mantle. Cars up to you. The photographers have zeroed in on him. All eyes are directed toward him here at the stadium. And a lot of eyes out here, too, boy. 4-2, favor the Yankees. As a curve in for a call strike. Bobby Locke is the right-hander. Mantle has gone 116 walks this year. Maris, 82. Ground ball hit through the left side for a base hit. Richardson is scoring. Here is Kubik coming in to score. And Maris, who leads the league and runs batted in, promptly drives in two more to lift his total to 132. The Yankees are now out in front 6-2. And Mantle, who started the inning, is coming up for the second time. He started with a tremendous triple to the opposite field to left center. So a single to the opposite field to Maris, single to left, picks up these two runners. Those runs are charged to Lattman. Maris, of course, is the responsibility of the relief man, Locke, and Mantle takes a fastball in on his hand. Mickey drew back from that ball with a sudden, quick lunge there, just as it was right on top of him. Low inside, ball two. Yankees 6 runs and 7 hits here in the last of the second. Now it's at first base. Mickey swings at a high curveball. Strike one. Mantle has 156 hits. Maris has 142. Mickey hitting 324. Swinging and fouls it back. Well, let's see. We haven't added in his base hit here in the second, so he's 1 or 2 points better. Either 325 or 326. All right, 2-2. Right-hander delivers way outside, ball three. Bulletin on the scoreboard says, welcome Amityville, New York State, Connie Mack Camp. All right, 6-2, favor the Yankees. This second inning up there as ball four, Mantle walks. Guys, second base is four. Now we have Blanchard. We followed Mantle's triple with a home run in the second inning, which tied it. Branch is getting a hand. Boy, that's a one. Think about that punch right through there. Maris, Mantle, Blanchard, Howard. How would you like to pitch to that quartet? Blanchard, left-hand hitter. Pitch way high and outside. Ball one. Wants another baseball. Played umpire Yuan accommodates him. Nothing in the rule that says an umpire has got to give a pitcher another ball, and there's nothing in the rule that says he hasn't got to. The umpire says it's a matter of keeping peace in the family. As long as the request for another ball is kept within reasonable limits, the umpires honor it. But, of course, they have the authority because they run the ball game. If they thought that, let's say a pitcher, for example, rejected a half a dozen or something, and just being silly, they could make him pitch with one. Two nothing delivery is high outside, ball three. That's the same thing. If a batter has to have a ball examined, the umpires will honor it if it's reasonable. But I remember out here the last time the Yankees were home, Charlie Burris back at the plate, Norris wanted the ball examined. And Burris says, no, I just examined it. It's all right. Then Merritt hit it for a home run. Blanchard swings, there is a fly ball to straightaway center with Pearsall Waits, makes the catch. So, 11 men batted, and six of them scored, and there were seven hits. Two men were left. So, at the end of two innings of the first game, it is 6-7-0 for the Yankees, 2-4-0 for the Indians.
I hope you'll use Atlantic Imperial in your car. It's the gasoline that cleans your carburetor as you drive and keeps it clean.
Shepard on the PA is speaking about when the Yankees are next home, the last week of the season. Tuesday night, the 26th, with Baltimore, and the next afternoon. Friday night, the 29th, with the Red Sox in the next two afternoons. The Red Sox, at the end of two innings, are leading the Tigers 6-0. Yastrzemski has hit a home run. At the end of two and a half innings, it is Baltimore 1, Washington nothing. The Baltimore run, a home run by France. Other games in the league will be coming in later. The National League is going now. Philadelphia leads at Chicago 1-0 at the end of the first inning on Callison's home run for the Phillies. Our old friend Tom Sedman is starting for Pittsburgh and Milwaukee against Warren Spahn. Sedman has won five and lost one since coming up with the Pirates. Vaughn is going to win number 307. Well, he's amazing, isn't he? The Cardinals have had their first at-bat at Cincinnati and got a run out of it. Kadecki against Perkins. Los Angeles coming in later from San Francisco. Well, Jim Pearsall, who was thrown out by shortstop Kubek, is first up in the third. Ford out there now with a four-run buzz, 6-2 game. A curve is hit inside third down the left field corner for a base knock. Pearsall's around first. He's on his way to second. Here comes the throw, and Pearsall is safe. Richardson is making a remonstrance with Bob Stewart. It is a double for Pearsall. Richardson was standing guardedly at second base as though there wouldn't be any throw. And then suddenly when he got the throw, he snapped it. So Pearsall gets the double. Double to left. Hit number five off Whitey. And here is Francona. Tito hitting 292. Takes a slider for a call strike. Above the knees on the outside. Pearsall averages 150th hit this year. He's having quite a season. That took what right on Tito, who crouches very much. Swings, hits the ball in the right field on a line. Base hit. Norris takes on the first chip, and Pearsall is held at third base for two reasons. One, when you're behind four runs, you can't be risky running. And two, Maris is on. So we have runners at first and third. This is six hits off Whitey. Cleveland is taking more liberty. conservatives with a little left-hander than he usually permits. The Yankees have the bullpen up again. They had Coach and Semenger going down there in the first inning. There's John Romano, who singled in the first inning and knocked in a run. It's a curve low inside, ball one. In the bullpen. As a curve hits foul between the coacher and third base itself. One and one. That's the count. Runners at first and third. Nobody out here in the third. Cleveland roughed up Whitey for two runs and four hits in the first inning. He got the side out in order in the second, but now the first two men up have hit him here in the third. There's a trickle ball up toward third base, and it goes foul. Chisholm was not going to try and score. One ball, two strikes. Romano, who had crossed first, he couldn't wait there to see whether the ball would be fair or foul. He had to run. He's walking back. Runs. They're all charged to the starter, Lapham. Whitey looking at the baseball as though he were counting the stitches. Low outside. Ball two. Two and two. Four deals. The curve swung on ground to foul. Back to third. He is taking more time today than customary for him. But now that he's got this big lead, he would like the best in the world to at least get five innings in and have some of the lead left. Under the existing rules, a starting pitcher cannot be credited with a win unless he pitches five innings. Delivers and has the ball that is hit out into short left center field and is dropping for a base hit between Kubek and Mantle. Pearsall is home to make it now 6-3. Francona stopped at second, and here comes Howe going out to the mound. Ralph takes the glass out of his bullpen. He is talking to Whitey. Hawk so far hasn't made any motion. There is one thing about Whitey Ford. He is completely candid and forthrightly honest. For example, if a manager comes out and says, "How do you feel?" Ford will tell it. Exactly, because I've heard Whitey say many times that the responsibility to the team is so important that it is up to you to tell the manager always exactly how you feel and then let him make the decision. And Hawk points to the bullpen. So this will be all for Whiting, and he can not be a pitcher of record. He can either win or lose. I think it was apparent from the very start of the ball game, the very first hitter, that his stuff was simply not alive. That's three runs and seven hits, though, Whitey. He's responsible for these two runners. Romano has batted in two runs today. Gives him a total of 74. Long Jim Coates is now being announced. And he's walking across right field. This is Coates' ball game to win or lose. He is 10-5. This is his 38th ball game, and he has been a two-way pitcher this year, both starting and out of the pen. Ford gets a hand as he walks off. So yesterday was Ford Day, and today isn't. Favor the Yankees. Of course, this Cleveland cloud is just so hot back of the neck, you could fry an egg. They've lost 16 straight games to the Yankees here at the stadium, and if you don't think that's not putting the ball under the saddle blanket, you got another thought coming. Now, Houck is going back into the dugout. Coach is checking his battery signs with Howard. And speaking of checking, we will pause for station identification.
Good Sound Broadcasting for 1961. This is Quality Modern, WOKO, Albany, New York. WOKO time, 2 minutes before 3 p.m.
Whitey Ford has done absolutely yeoman service this year. He has been a laboring man, and by pitching every fourth day, and with remarkable success, and with strong assists when necessary from Arroyo, it has made possible the rebuilding of a pitching staff. For example, at spring training camp, you certainly counted on Turley. Counted on Dittmar. So suddenly they were ineffective. Something had to be done, and had to be done in the course of the season. A great test of managing for Howe. But now that Ford has done so much work, I would say that the number one consideration about him from now on is to get him tuned up for the World Series. All right. Jim Coates is ready to go ahead. Willie Kirkland, who singled in the first inning and knocked in a run. The Yankees leading 6-3, runners at first and second. We have nobody out. A curve is inside, too close to the belt. Ball one. There's a sharp curve. It's a slider swung on and missed down across the shin. Coach went the route against Washington 5 days ago. Gave them one run, four hits. Won his 10th game then. There's a curve that is fouled up. Howard is getting under it. Two-thirds of the way back to the stands and has it for the first time. So, one down. Foul ball to the catcher. And the hitter now is Power. Pick in that severe crowd. With the outfield laid back into right, he dropped a double inside the left field line. First inning. Hitting 265. 6-3 New York. Yankees had a six-run explosion in the second. Fastball swung on late, fouled off. I'll say this, the coach is the very antithesis of Ford. as far as pitching equipment goes. Whitey, Stocky's left-hander, who's using breaking stuff today, not going hard. And Coach, a tall, lean, hungry-faced right-hander who throws hard. Jim ready. Good ball game to win. You can hold it. Pitch is swung on. There's a ball hit out to right field. It may be trouble. It is a home run. It still cooks his game to win, but he's got no lead.
Failed in the lower right field stand, about 10 feet fair. Coach Burris sadly shook his head. It is now 6-6. The first 5 runs charged to Whitey, the 6th one charged to Coach. Now we have Woody Held. One man out. Fastball slightly high inside. Ball 1. Held hit a line drive with Mantle one handed coming in the first inning. 6-6. Serve swung on and missed. Strike 1. 1-1. Now, this promises to be a rough afternoon, doesn't it? It's all right handed deals. High curveball is too high. Ball 2. 2-1. For power, that's his 5th home run this year. His runs batted in now, total 61. Two-one delivery, swung on as a high foul ball up alongside third. Boyer, under it, makes the catch, two-thirds of the way over to the stand. And we have 2 out. Third baseman Delahose, who is playing in place of Phillips, who got hit on the hand early in the series. Pitch is swung on to the line drive over short into left center for a base hit. Delahose goes around first base and saves. Mantle quickly recovers the ball, throws it in. Single to left center. Now, this gets relief pitcher Locke as the hitter, and it is Locke's ball game to win or lose. Game is pitched back and forth. First it was 2-0 Cleveland, then it was 6-2 New York, and by the time that Locke came in, it looked as though he would just be sort of the expendable long man out of the bullpen. And now all of a sudden, here we go, head to head. 6-6. This is the 8th man to bat for Cleveland here in the 3rd inning. Well, he pitched the coach. Takes the sign from Howard. Delahose leads off first. Locke, a right-hand hitter. Swings at a curve, hits it to short. Kubek runs over, steps on second for the unassisted score, and that is the 3rd out. But before that happened, 4 runs. 5 hits. And the score at the end of 2.5 innings is Cleveland 6 and New York 6.
Does your car perform as if it were several years older than it really is? Well, even a new car can't give you a smooth, even ride with a dirty carburetor. That's where Atlantic Imperial Gasoline comes in. It cleans your carburetor as you drive and keeps it clean. And this is very important. You see, under ordinary driving conditions, harmful deposits can form around the lower carburetor walls. In time, these deposits can affect the action of the throttle plate, cause rough idling, frequent stalling, and gasoline waste. But not when you use Atlantic Imperial. It washes these deposits harmlessly away, and with continued use keeps the new deposits from forming. I hope you'll use Atlantic Imperial in your car. It's the gasoline that cleans your carburetor as you drive and then keeps it clean.
Half of the third inning. Howard first up, then Cowan and Boya. Bobby Locke, who replaced Lapman. He's now the pitcher of record. It's a 6-6 ball game. The two starters are off the hook. As the ground ball hit up to a third, Delahose grabs it, puts it into first base. Plenty of time, and Howard is out. Now we have Cowan. The Moose rips a double to right center in the second inning. Hitting 273. Lock field. Fastball low inside. Ball one. Bobby Locke from Grindstone, Pennsylvania. It always strikes me as an interesting name for a town. Swung on and foul right back into the chest protector. Played on by Umar. 1-1. Bosin on the scoreboard. First quarter score. Baltimore Colts 28, New York Giants 13. There's the ball bounced high. The pitcher has to wait for it to come down. He grabs it close to first and Cowan is out. Power, using that one hand all the time down at first. I have Cletus Boya, 0-1. Ball game hanging, 6-6. Each team is taking turns beating on the other. Football season is opening earlier and earlier. There's a fastball swung on and missed, strike two. One thing that that's done is it has divided up sports announcers. It used to be that you did baseball and then did football. Maybe you'd have an overlap of one day. As a ground foul. Most two, which you could work out. But now it's getting the specialization even more keenly noted. You know, a baseball announcer can't get away to do football and vice versa. Got two sets of outside. Two strike pitch, fastball high inside. Ball one. One ball, two strikes. One and two. Two down. Lock throws hard, delivers. There's a curveball fouled off. There's been a correction that has come in on the printer about the big ball game at Cincinnati. The Cardinals were first credited with a run. The correction is they didn't get it, and Cincinnati has got a run at the end of two innings and leading 1-0. There's a high foul back out of play. One ball, two strikes. So it is first place Cincinnati 1 and St. Louis 0 at the end of two. End of an inning, Pittsburgh is leading Milwaukee 3-0. Those runs belong to our old friend Tom Sedeman. 1-2 pitch, curve, fouled off in the upper left field stand. In the three innings, the Red Sox, who have closed the season here the last 3 days, are leading Detroit 6-0. In the four, Baltimore's leading Washington 2-0. Baltimore's driving to take second place away from the Tigers. I mean driving. Block 1-2 with Boyer. There's another foul back. Still 1-2. Baltimore is three games back at Detroit. In case you don't want to go get the morning paper. Dumont, with all these foul balls, is having to... wait a minute. No. What it is? I thought he was going to call for some more baseballs. He's calling for the trainer. Gus Mouth, come up there and see Boyer's left hand. Apparently, maybe he's pulled a blister. Batters do that sometimes, batting. And he's putting a piece of tape on the left hand. Let me see now. I think it's the index finger. Now Romano moves between us. Now he moves away. Thank you, John. Now let's see, Peters, hold your hand out where we can see where that bandage went. All right, one ball, two strikes. There is a curve, fouled off. Still 1-2. Six ball game. He struck him out with a high inside slider. So it is 1-2-3. And at the end of three, the totals are 6-9-0 for the Indians and 6-7-0 for the Yankees. Now, Phil, our statistician Bill Kane has been very cooperative this year, but I asked him to do something just now, and he flatly refused, and I wonder if you would do it.
What's that?
I wanted to go down and ask Hank what happened to that 6-2 lead.
I'm like Bill Kane. I'm not going to do it.
Well, he said I'd die if I'd get back, and if I did, you couldn't use his end.
Outro. And Red must be just about chalked out. 12 runs and 16 hits. In three innings. Man, this looks like one of those days. Have a little candlelight dinner tonight about 12:30. Figure we'll have a long day at the ballpark. On the scoreboard in the American League, it's Red Sox 6, Detroit 0 at the end of three. Coplett replaced Marcy in the third, Conley for the Red Sox. Billy Bruton is just homing in the fourth. That makes it 6-1. Yastrzemski homing in the second with one on for the Red Sox. Baltimore 2, Washington nothing at the end of 3.5. McLean against Estrada. Jackie Brandt and Brooks Robinson of homing. Chicago at L.A. has not started. Minnesota at Kansas City hasn't started. National League, Phillies 1, Cubs nothing at the end of 2. Roberts against Caldwell, Callison homing. Pittsburgh 3, Milwaukee nothing at the end of an inning and a half. Sturdivant against Spahn. Cincinnati 1, Cardinals nothing at the end of 2.5. Sadecki against Turkey. Los Angeles and San Francisco not underway. Johnny Temple up for his third time in the ballgame here in the top of the fourth. He doubled and scored in the first, struck out in the second. Jim Coates,
He placed Whitey Ford, fires a fastball right in there, strike call. On deck, Jimmy Pearsall. Curve fouls and going out of play down the right field line. Nothing in two. Man, look at that first quarter score. Baltimore Colts 28, New York Giants 13. They're playing up in the Yale Bowl. That's equivalent to this score here in the third inning of 6-6. A lot of scoring. Nothing in two on Temple. Lined up by Coates. Fastball high inside, ball one. Got a real good crowd here today. Never really expected this much, but the fans so interested in the Mantle Maris race for home run honors that they're coming out. Curve misses outside, two and two. Coach ready for the 2-2 delivery. Here it is, and it's a foul back in the upper deck out of play. Out holes at 2-2. Nobody out, nobody on. Top of the fourth. And the 2-2 delivery. Curve is high, ball three, 3-2. Temple batting 281. He's been having a pretty good series against the Yankees. Now the payoff pitch. Inside, ball four. That's the first walk given up by Yankee pitchers in the ballgame. Whitey Ford, who went two innings, didn't walk anybody. Brings up Jimmy Pearsall, bounces short, double to left field, and scores. Jimmy hit one right inside third base, and Blanchard played it perfectly off the wall, made a good throw to second. And there was a little dispute on the call at second base. It was close, but Pearsall just beat the tag. Pitch to Jimmy. Pitch out outside, ball one. Elston Howard figured that Pearsall and Temple might have the hit and run on. On deck, Tito Francona. Temple leading away. Fast ball over, strike called, one and one. Boyer is playing way in at third. Holding first against Temple. Time is called by Johnny Temple at first base. Wanted Pearsall to step out of the batter's box. They rechecked the signals with third base coach Luke Appling. Now everybody ready to go. Is up in the Yankee bullpen. Quick throw to first, Temple back. Here's the stretch. Curve hit in the ground at second base. Richardson to Kubek for one. Back to first. Double play. They got him. The Yankees' 162nd double play of the year.
Boy, Richardson made a pretty play on that ball. As he caught it, he had to flip it backhanded and sort of underhanded to Kubek. Couldn't get too much on it, but Tony came across the bag and fired the first, and this Pearsall. So it's two out, and here's Francona. Fly to right, single to right. Tito scored once. Last year, the Yankees had only 160 Duke double plays all year. First pitch to Francona is ball one, rolls back to the screen. And already this year, the Yankees have 162. Two out, nobody on. Wind up by Coates. Fastball line down the left field line. That's in there for extra bases. Rolling down in the corner. Blanchard picks it up, and Francona's in with a stand-up double. So again, the big double play that the Yankee infield came up with keeps the run from scoring. That is the 10th hit for the Indians off Yankee pitching, and it brings up Johnny Romano, who has two of those 10 hits. He scored twice and driven in two runs. Lined a single to left, dropped a single in short center field. Romano now over the 300 mark again, batting 301. Francona second, scored side 6-6. The curve is low and away, ball one. Deck, Willie Kirkland. Coach sets. Fastball high and inside. Ball two. 2-0. Here's a stretch by Coates. Fastball fouled. Ooh. Right over our head. A little too high, though. Two balls, one strike. Two out. Francona leads off second base. Right-hander set. Fastball high, ball three, 3-1. Ready again. 3-1 pitch is a ground foul outside of third. Full count on Romano. Both starting pitchers were knocked out in a hurry. Barry Lattman, who started, went an inning and two-thirds, and Whitey went two full innings. Looks like a hitter's day here today at the stadium. Ready now for the payoff pitch. There it is. It's a curve, popped in the air, foul. Scarron chasing it near the stand, but he can't get it. It goes back about five or six rows. The count holds at 3-2. ready again. The run is going. The ball is fouled again over our heads. And Frank LaFrosia gets one of the easiest foul balls I've ever seen. It bounced off a few hands, rolled down off the top, took one little bounce, and Frank just picked it up. So it's still 3-2. Here's a stretch by Coates. Kurt swung it and missed strike three. So for the Indians in the top of the fourth, no runs, one hit, no Yankee errors, one man left. At the end of 3.5, Cleveland 6 and the Yankees 6.
Say, that new power mower sure looks easy to operate, Doris.
Yeah. Wish our car performed half as well.
What's the trouble?
Oh, idles like a vibrating machine all over the place.
Sounds familiar.
Your car the same way?
It used to be. Turned out the carburetor was full of dirt.
Oh? What did you do?
Cleaned it, of course.
Say, that must have been a big job.
Nothing to it. I just started using Atlantic Imperial gasoline.
What's that got to do with it?
Hey, where have you been? I thought everybody knew by now that Atlantic Imperial gasoline cleans your carburetor as you drive and keeps it clean.
Atlantic Imperial. And it worked for you?
It worked for me.
Boy, I'll have to start using Atlantic Imperial gasoline right away. Meanwhile, back to the grass. That's one problem Atlantic Imperial can't solve.
Right now, let's pause for station identification.
At 1460 on the radio dial, you're in tune with Quality Modern, WOKO, Albany, New York. Good sound broadcasting for 1961. WOKO time, 27 minutes past 3 p.m.
That, by the way, single to center field to drive in a run. Coates is 1 for 34, batting 029. Takes the fastball right down the middle. Strike one call. Bobby Locke on the mound. Pitches of record right now are Bobby Locke for the Indians and Jim Coates for the Yankees. There's a swing and a miss that occurred. Strike two. One year, Coates had a great year at the plate for the Yankees. He hit nothing but line drives. Strike three called. Jim stepped back and the ball broke over. That's one out. Here's Bobby Richardson, who walked and singled off Barry Latman. The ball was hit so hard off Latman that it kicked between short and third out to left field. I don't know whether Barry was injured on that play or not, but after the next man doubled, he was taken out of the ball game. Mr. Richardson, taken for a strike. Tony Kubek on deck. One strike fastball inside, 1-1. Cleveland scored 2 in the first. The Yankees scored 6 in the bottom of the second. And the Indians came back with 4 in the top of the third. That's the way it stands now, 6-6. Ball line to right center field, way back there, and that ball is one hop against the right center field wall. Richardson around first, digging for second, and holds up. And that's a lot of power for little Bobby Richardson in the opposite field. A ball hit just about 400 feet, one hop against the right center field bleacher wall. One of the longest doubles that Richardson has ever hit, that's for sure.
That's the second hit off Lott, the Yankees' eighth hit of the ball game, and for Richardson, his 16th double of the year. Brings up Tony Kubek. Speaking of doubles, Tony has 37, leading both major leagues in that department. He doubled in the second inning after hitting into a double play in the first inning. Tony has driven in one run, batting 279. Richardson is second with one out. Stretch to pitch to Kubek is bunted foul in back of the plate. Tony's trying to drag one with the right side of the infield playing back. Richardson hit that ball the way he did in last year's World Series. On deck, Roger Maris. Ball in the dirt, knocked down by Romano. Bobby holds his second base. In last year's World Series, Richardson had 11 base hits, two doubles, two triples, one homer, and 12 runs batted in. He broke records that have been held by sluggers like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Yogi Berra, Joe DiMaggio. Fantastic series. Ready for the 1-1 pitch. A foul out of play in the upper deck and back of third. One ball, two strikes. Thing the Yankees have an off day tomorrow. The way this ball game is going, in over an hour and a half, we haven't played three and a half innings yet. Fastball high and tight. Tony sits down at the 2-2 count. One out, Richardson leading off second. Ready for his 2-2 delivery. A fly ball to left field. Tito Francona right there and takes it for the second out. At the last second, Tito had a little trouble with that ball, but he caught it. Here's Roger Maris. Roger flied to right field in the first inning, singled between short and third in the second inning to drive in two runs, giving him a total of 132 RBIs, batting 272, 56 homers. On deck, Mickey Mantle, stretched by Lott. Pitch outside, ball one. When Roger gets a base hit to left field, it's almost as exciting to see him hit a home run. Very seldom does he hit a ball to the left of second base. Here's a 1-0 pitch. Outside again, ball two, 2-0. In at second now has 160 base hits on the year. That's the eye of the Yankee hitters. Ready for the 2-0 pitch. Fastball hit deep to right. And curving ball. Holy cow, he missed a home run by inches. Roger Maris hit a ball that just missed hitting the foul pole for number 57. Roger never left the batter's box, trying to use a little body English. And what a line drive he hit. Oh, man.
Boy, that was close. Two balls, one strike. The stretch. Curve is a check swing fly ball down the left field line and going into the stands out of play. De La Hoz chased it way back. Couldn't catch up to it. Roger was trying to hold up on that swing. Johnny Temple runs in from second base to talk with Locke. Ball went out like a bullet. Didn't have too much chance to curve. It was just pulled a little bit too much. Two balls, two strikes, two out. The score tied 6-6. This is the bottom of the fourth inning. For the 2-2 delivery. High and away, ball three. Now the payoff pitch to Maris. Here it is, and it's a curve fouled in back of the plate. Curved in 3-2. By the way they're pitching Maris and Mantle, that the pitchers are not trying to let these two hitters break the record. They hit a home run, they earn it. Again, we'll have the 3-2 pitch. Curve, he checked his swing, it's low inside, ball four. Romano started to walk off the field. Will bring up Mickey Mantle, who tripled and scored in the second inning, walked also in the second inning as he came to bat twice in one inning. Mickey batting 326. Maris at first, Richardson at second. That was Maris's 83rd walk of the year. To Mantle, a curve over, strike call. Mantle has 117 base on balls. On deck, Johnny Blanchard. Pitch to Mickey, a ground ball to second. Temple up with it. Throws to Vic Power for the out. For the Yankees in the bottom of the fourth, no runs on one hit. No Indian errors, two men left. At the end of four full innings, it's Cleveland 6 and the Yankees 6. And right now I'd like to mention. Scoreboard, it's the Red Sox 7, Detroit 2 at the end of 4.5. Bruton and Yastrzemski have homered. Baltimore 3, Washington nothing at the end of 5. Brandt and Brooks Robinson have homered. Chicago at L.A. and Minnesota, Kansas City have not started. In the National League, it's the Phillies 1, the Cubs nothing at the end of 3.5. Callison homered. Pittsburgh 3, Milwaukee nothing at the end of 2.5. Cincinnati 1, Cardinals nothing at the end of 4.5, and Los Angeles at San Francisco not on the way. For the Indians, Willie Kirkland will lead off. Kirkland single to center to drive in a run in the first inning and fouled out to the catcher. Ball game.
first base. Garin backhands it. Flips underhand a coach covering in time to get Kirkland. For a big fella, that Kirkland can go down the line. And that'll bring up Vic Power, who doubled the left field and then hit a three-run homer to the opposite field in the third inning. It was only Vic's fifth homer of the year, giving him a total of 61 RBIs now, setting 267. Pitch low and away, ball one. Well, today is Roger Maris's 27th birthday. Happy birthday, Roger. Pitch to Vic Power, foul, back of the plate. One and one. Man, what a career he's got ahead of him. Just 27 years old. Curveball hit down the right field line, close to the pole, and foul deep in the right field corner. One ball, two strikes. Two strikes, one out, nobody on. Fastball almost hit by it. Did hit him. He goes to first base. Vic Power now pointing to Jim Coates, trying to say that Coates threw at him intentionally. And Vic Power was just nicked with that ball on the hand. He's throwing the bat back, walking towards the mound and pointing his finger at Coates and saying something as he goes to first base. And Jimmy Dykes now wants to talk with Frank Umont. And it was off Jim Coates that Vic Power hit the three-run homer. And Coates low-bridged him. Dykes now talking to Umont. You know, if it is determined that a pitcher threw intentionally at a hitter, he can be given a stiff fine and suspended. And Vic Power is not too happy at first base. And he has made no bones about it. Here's Woody Held, who lined to center field, Mantle making a fine running catch, and then popped to third. One away. Score tied 6-6. Pitch to Held, high ball one. Quick throw to first, Power back. And Vic Power says, throw to the plate. He points into the plate to Jim Coates. And Vic Power now arguing with first base umpire Joe Lincelotta. Coates throws over there, but Vic had his foot on the bag. Well, we might have a little activity, a little action in this ball game before it's over. Jimmy Pearsall now standing on the top steps of the Indian dugout. Looks like he's ready to charge out there. I'll tell you one thing, if they have a rhubarb, I'm in the right spot up here. I've been in a few of them. All right, here's the stretch. Curve is high, ball two, two or nothing. Pearsall now yelling out to Coates.
threw a rubber ball out on the field. Kobach picked it up, throws it to Lou Gatling. Looks like the folks are out here having a picnic. All right, ready for the 2-0 pitch. Inside, ball three, 3-0. Mike Delahoe is on deck. Nothing delivery. High inside, ball four. Held walk, Vic Power walking slowly to second base. And Pearsall is waving a towel at Coach and trying to get Jim's attention. Ralph Houck is going out to the mound now. Talking with Jim Coates, Bobby Richardson, and Elston Howard there. And Ralph's going to leave him in. He's telling Coates to never mind the riding from the opposing team, but to concentrate on the hitter. One away, runners at first and second. Score tied 6-6 in the top of the fifth. The batter, Mike Delahoe, fly to center and single to center. Off second. Woody held off first. The stretch by Coach. Curveball is high and away, ball one. Pearsall still waving the towel. Throw to second base and Power is safe. Did not slide back into second, and Bobby Richardson argues very briefly with second base umpire Bob Stewart. Vic Powell was almost picked off second. He did not slide back into the bag. And that would have made Coach very happy. Vic's taking a big lead down there. Here's the 1-0 pitch. A ground ball to third. Boyer steps on third, goes to first, double play. For the Indians, in the top of the fifth, no runs, no hits, no Yankee errors, one man left. At the end of four and a half, it's Cleveland 6 and the Yankees 6.
Take along a six-pack, a jolly six-pack of Ballantine beer. It carries with ease, cools in a breeze, and best of all, it gives you six icy cold cans of the crisp refresher.
Take along a six-pack, jolly, jolly six-pack of ice-cold Ballantine beer.
While Bobby Locke was loosening up, Jimmy Dyke popped out of the Cleveland dugout to talk with Frank Umont once again. For the Yankees, Johnny Blanchard leads off. Blanchard, who was up twice in the second inning, homered with Mantle at third base and then flied to center field. Johnny now batting .312 with 20 homers and 47 RBIs.
Pitch to Blanchard is over. Strike one called. On deck, Elston Howard. Fastball low, 1-1. The halftime score now up in New Haven. Baltimore Colts 35, New York Giants 13. And Johnny Unitas having a great day again.
Serve hit deep to right. Way back there. And foul by inches. Way up in the upper deck again.
Oh, man, that Blanchard is really tagging that ball. He hit that one high and deep. That ball couldn't have been fouled by much. One ball, two strikes. Curve way outside, 2-2. Two pitch outside, ball three. 3-2. Full count on Johnny Blanchard. Bobby Locke completely soaked through his uniform with perspiration. Now the payoff pitch to Blanchard. A foul coming near the Indian dugout. Romano chasing it, but he can't get it. Bounces on top of the dugout and then way back in the seat. Out holds at 3-2. Ready again for the 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three, and Johnny went after a bad pitch. He knew it, tried to hold the bat back, but couldn't do it. Strikeout number three for Locke. That'll bring up Elston Howard. Howard struck out in the second inning, bounced to third in the third inning. Kelly now batting 360. And Locke now wants a towel from the Indian dugout. Fans are getting on somebody out there. Waving handkerchief. Nobody on. Howard takes the fastball low. Ball one. Another fastball outside this time. Ball two. 2-0. Cincinnati now leading the Cardinals 2-0 at the end of five. And the Red Sox leading Detroit 8-2 at the end of five. Los Angeles at San Francisco just getting underway. Here's a 2-0 pitch. It's a swing and a miss, strike one. 2-1. On deck, Bill Scarron. Fastball hit over the pitcher's head and back a second. Held up with it. Throws to first. In time to get Howard. Nice play by Woody Held. Had to throw that ball off balance. Two-way, and here's the Moose, who doubled a deep right center field in the second inning, hit back to the box in the third. Scarron has scored once. Two out in a 6-6 ball game, last of the fifth. Pitch to the Moose. Curve that's low. Ball one. Changeup curve hit. Backhanded by the third baseman. A long throw. In time for the out. And Mike Delahoe pulled a Cleet Boyer as he slid on his knees and backhanded Scarron smash over the bag and threw a strike to first base. So the Yankees go down in order in the bottom of the fifth, nothing across. At the end of five full innings, it's Cleveland 6 and the Yankees 6. And right now, some important news for all bowling fans in the area. From September 9th through the 17th, the Long Island Fair will have a new special feature this year. Ballantyne, along with AMF and the Long Island Daily Press, will sponsor the Long Island Pro-Am Bowler Fair. Here, the nation's top professional bowlers from the famous Ballantyne Bowling Classic, fellows like Wrong Foot, Lou Campy, Lindy Farragalli, and other well-known pro bowlers, will bowl against 100 amateurs picked at random. Now, the amateurs will get 100% handicap from the pros. These fellows can really bowl, and it's a great chance to study their technique. On top of that, it's a lot of fun. So be sure to attend the Long Island Fair at the Roosevelt Raceway and Exhibition Center in Westbury, Long Island. Don't miss the Ballantyne Bowling Classic Bowlers in Action. Right now, let's pause for station identification.
At 1460 on the radio dial, you're in tune with Quality Modern, WOKO in Albany, New York. Good sound broadcasting for 1961. WOKO time, 5 minutes before 4 p.m.
Red Sox 8, Detroit 2 at the end of 5. Baltimore 3, Washington nothing at the end of 7. Chicago at L.A. hasn't started. Minnesota, Kansas City a doubleheader. Nothing at the end of 1. The National League, Phillies 1, Cubs 1 at the end of 4.5. Pittsburgh 3, Milwaukee 1 at the end of 4. Cincinnati 2, the Cardinals nothing at the end of 5. L.A. and San Francisco just getting underway. Bobby Locke swings and misses a curveball, strike one. Locke's been up once, bounced to the shortstop. Fastball is low. 1-1 a lot. On deck, Johnny Temple. One curve, low outside, ball two, 2-1. Delivery.
Well, look out, the bat went into the seat.
I don't know whether it hit anybody, but that bat went back at least 7 or 8 rows into the box seat in back of the Cleveland dugout, and it did not hit the seat. We could not hear any noise. It hit somebody, and I just hope it didn't hit them hard. It's
very slippery up there at the plate today, and the bat slipped out of Locke's hand. The policemen are there. It doesn't look like anyone was hurt. But I tell you, I've seen some bats thrown, but that one's a racket. That bat went about the distance of home plate to second base. And they get the bat back. But I believe they should give him another bat. That's like a foul ball being hit into the stand. They're entitled to a souvenir, more so if you're hit by a bat than a baseball. I think they're looking for a bat that nobody uses too much and will give it to the fan. And that's what they're going to do. And they get a brand new bat, and they get applause, too. And a little youngster there. He may be bruised a little, but he's very happy. Nothing serious. Boy, everything's happening here today. 2-2 count on Bobby Locke. Curve fouled off the screen. That ball stuck underneath the screen. So we're not surprised at anything that happens from here on in. Still 2-2 with nobody out and nobody on. And the top of the sixth, score tied 6-6. Again, coach 2-2 delivery. It hit his bat, goes fair down the first baseline. Scarron picks it up and tags Locke for the out. Locke was trying to get out of the way of the inside fastball. And the ball hit his bat, went right to the moose. That'll bring up Johnny Temple. Doubled in the first inning and scored. Struck out in the second, walked in the fourth. Giving the youngster who was hit with the bat a hand, and he's waving the bat up in the air. All right, here's the pitch to Temple. A foul back out of play in the upper deck. Strike one. It must be a frightening feeling to see a bat come sailing towards you. Don't know what to do. You can't catch it like a baseball. Strike, curveball, foul back in the lower deck. Nothing in two. Two strike pitch, high and tight, ball one. Jimmy Pearsall. And if Coach should throw a little close to Pearsall, we'll see some fireworks. But he and Coach have tangled before. One ball, two strike curve is hit to right field. Roger Maris moves back a few steps under it and takes it. That's two away. And it'll bring up Pearsall, bounced to short, doubled and scored, and then hit into a double play. Digging a hole in the batter's box while Umont was trying to clean home plate. All right, here's the windup. Pitch to Pearsall, high inside, ball one. And Jimmy gives Pearsall the look and starts talking to him. It was really not that close. Pearsall seems to be closer to the plate than his normal stance. He's swinging the bat back and forth and talking to Coach at the same time.
1-0 pitch. Curve over. Strike one, 1-1. On deck, Tito Francona. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Another curve fouled back off the screen. One ball, two strikes. Dirt, 2-2. Two out, nobody on. Ball players from both benches are picking their opponents in case of a free-for-all. They do that jokingly. That's Pomati looking over in the Yankee dugout. Here's the pitch. It's fouled back in the upper deck. Count holds it 2-2. Pretty good idea, though. If you think there's going to be a rhubarb, pick out somebody you know is kind of friendly. Trouble is, in a fight, too many of the opponents would pick me. Good thing I could run. Tell you that. Still 2-2 on Pearsall. Coach's 2-2 pitch. Wing and a miss, strike three. He struck him out. And the Indians get down in order in the top of the sixth inning. Nothing across. At the end of five and a half, it's Cleveland 6 and the Yankees 6.
To be crisp, a beer must be icily light.
Icily light.
With true lager flavor precisely right.
Precisely right.
Lively, golden, crystally clear. The crisp refresher.
Crisp refresher.
Valentine, Valentine beer.
Pleasure is the purpose of the crisp refresher. Your first swallow and everyone to follow is light and crisp and golden. So pour pleasure. Pour today's Valentine.
So clap your hands.
Tap
your feet.
Snap
your fingers. The man for Valentine,
the crisp refresher,
Valentine, Valentine beer.
Since 1840,
America's finest.
For the Yankees, Cleet Boyer will lead off, to be followed by Jim Coates. Maybe followed by a little fireworks. Popped to first base and struck out. Score still tied, 6-6. Lock into the windup. Pitch to Boyer. A foul. Just to our left out of play. Comes back with a curve that's fouled in back of the plate, picked up by Romano. Nothing in two. Rick Powell still talking with first base umpire Joe Lincelotta. Two strike pitch.
just outside on the fastball, ball one. Ball, two strike, curveball is low inside, 2-2. Two pitch is foul on the upper deck down the left field line, kicked down the lower deck. Two and two on Boyer. Lark's uniform is really soaked. It must be heavy out there. Now he wants a new baseball. Two pitch, foul, back in the upper deck, out of play. I'd say on a day like this, a pitcher can lose easily 10 pounds and as much as 15 or 17. Pitch is a fly ball to short left field. Francona coming in, held back, held going back. He's got it. A nice running play by Woody Held with his back to the plate and over the shoulder grab. Francona could not have caught up to the ball. Fine play by Woody Held. And here's Jim Coates. Coming up to the plate. Coates was called out on strikes in the fourth inning. Nobody on, and now Locke wants to talk with Romano. Coach talks with Frank Umont while they're huddling out on the mound. Now it's set to go. The windup. Fastball right down the middle, strike called. Coates leaned away from the pitch, kind of expecting an inside pitch, but he didn't get it. There's one almost hit him, and he jumps out of the way, and it rolls back to the screen. One and one. Umont looking at the ball, talking with Romano, and warning Romano to warn his pitcher not to come too close to Mr. Coates. Let's block him so hard. Bobby takes out a handkerchief, mops his hands and his brow. The pitcher can always claim that the ball slipped out of his fingers on a hot day like this. All right, here's the 1-1 pitch. A little bit low. Ball two, 2-1. Down the middle, strike two, and they're merely making a bucket hitter out of Coates this time at bat. He's stepping right towards third base on every pitch. Can't say as I blame him. The 2-2 pitch. He swings and misses strike three at a low curve ball. Fourth strikeout for Locke. It's two out. Here's Richardson, who's 2-for-2. He walked, singled, and doubled. Bobby now batting .273. 6-6 the score here in the bottom of the sixth. To Richardson, a foul at the plate, bounced on the ground, bounced up and hit Richardson. One strike. Curve is popped into short left field. Francona makes the catch, and he almost lost that ball. You could see the sun glistening on his glasses as he went after it. He flinched a little at the end, but he caught it. So the Yankees go down in order in the bottom of the sixth. Nothing across, and at the end of six full innings, it's Cleveland 6 runs, 10 hits, no errors. The Yankees 6 runs, 8 hits, and no errors. As we take a look at the scoreboard, in the American League, at the end of 6 innings, it's Boston 8 and Detroit 3. Coplitz against Conley, Bruton homered for Detroit, Yastrzemski with one on for the Red Sox. Baltimore 3, Washington nothing at the end of 7.5. Klipstein replaced McLean, Estrada for Baltimore. Grant and Brooks Robinson homered for Baltimore. Chicago at L.A. hasn't started. Minnesota at Kansas City in the first of 2. The A's 1, the Twins nothing at the end of 2. Kralik against Babb. In the National League, Phillies 1, Cubs 1 at the end of 4.5. Ferretti against Cardwell, Callison homered. Pittsburgh 3, Milwaukee 1 at the end of 5. Sturtevant against Spahn. Spahn going for number 307. Cincinnati 5 and the Cardinals 2 at the end of 6. Sadecki against Turkey, Post homered in the 6th with 2 on. As the Cardinals had tied the score in the top of the 6th with 2 runs, Post came back with a 3-run homer. Los Angeles at San Francisco, Williams against Lowell. Well, we're all set to go here in the top of the 7th of this tie ball game, and ready to go, carry the rest of the way, Mel Allen.
Everybody, we're ready now for the 7th inning. With Tito Francona leading off for the Indians, Johnny Romano on deck, and Willie Kirkland to follow. Score tied 6-6. Jim Coates delivers. The pitch is in there for a called strike. Circled it off his fastball. Francona flied to right, single to right, and double to left. The numbers 3, 4, and 5 hitters in the order. First up, Coates in relief of Ford. Comes in now with another half-speed pitch, which is outside. Ball one, 1-1. One ball, one strike. Jim into the windup. Around comes the right arm. The pitch, fastball, swung on, lifted up into the air. Stumbled in the Tiger series, but still made a spectacular catch. Scratched his arm, place where Bob Serb hurt himself earlier in the year. It's a little dip out there, and you're running across a certain level of ground. That foot just doesn't hit right. Johnny Romano swings at the first pitch, bounces it to short. Kubek up with it, throws on to first in time. Two away. Now Willie Kirkland comes up. Single to center, foul of the catcher, and grounded to first. Big power coming out on deck. Indians 6, the Yankees 6. It's the 7th inning. Jim Coates into the windup. In comes the pitch to the left-hand batter. It's over. Strike one. Nothing in one. Make a mistake with Willie. And the pitch. Over the outside corner. Strike two. open stance. Good, solid, full hitter with power. Six all, seventh inning. Now the two-strike pitch. Fastball misses. Low and away, one and two. One ball, two strikes. Into the windup, and the pitch is in there. Called strike three. Caught him looking. Sides retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. And at the end of six and a half innings, Indians six, Yankees six. On a warm summer day, there are a few things more pleasant than a cold, golden glass of beer, especially when that beer is Valentine. Every sip you take is pure pleasure. You see, pleasure is the purpose of the crisp refresher. And that's why over 5 million glasses of Ballantine beer are enjoyed every day. Discover the crisp refresher yourself. Your very first swallow and each one to follow proves that a beer can be light and still give you all the lager beer flavor you want. This sunny, mellow flavor is what makes Ballantine beer the crisp refresher. So, friends, if you drink beer for taste and refreshment and pleasure, then Ballantine's the beer for you. Try it. See for yourself why Ballantine is the most popular beer from Maine to Florida. Pour pleasure. Pour the crisp refresher. Real soon. In the last half of the seventh inning, Tony Kubek will be leading off. Roger Maris on deck and Mickey Mantle to follow. Any late tuners in, the Indians scored two in the first off Ford, and after the Yankees had knocked out Barry Lattman with a six-run attack in the second, including a home run by Johnny Blanchard following Mantle's leadoff triple, the Indians knocked out Ford in the third, and Vic Power hit a three-run homer off Colt to tie the score. Kubek grounded a second into a double play. Double to right and fly to left. Bobby Locke, who has been in there since the second inning with two outs in relief of Lattman, into the windup. The pitch is high and away. Ball one. Pitch swung on, it's a high fly ball into left center. Jimmy Pearsall gets under it and has one away. Now Roger Maris. Fly to right, single to left, and walk. Maris just missed a homer. Rock won the third deck foul a little bit. Pitch is way high. Ball one. One ball, no strike. Right-hander Bobby Locke to the windup. The pitch. And Maris swings and lifts a high, high pop. Foul. Vic Power comes in four, and he has it.
Two down.
Now coming up is Mickey Mantle, who tripled in the second inning and walked all in the same inning, and then grounded the second and the fourth, batting .325. Indians 6, Yankees 6, 7th inning. Mantle wants Frank Dumont to look the ball over. He He leads it in the game. Lock to the windup, and the pitch is high and away. Ball one. One ball, no strike. Lock ready. Two down, seventh inning, 6-6. Into the windup, and the pitch is high outside. Ball two. 2-0. Two balls, no strike. Now the pitch. Change up is high. Ball three. 3-0. Mantle looks at Grissetti. Sees he's got a green light. Guarantee you're not going to get one down the middle anyway. Three balls, no strikes. Two outs. 6-6, seventh inning. Ready into the windup, and the 3-0 pitch is high for ball four. Second time Mantle has walked. Mickey gets to walk. His second of the game, and 118 the season. Now Johnny Blanchard hit a home run in the second inning, flied to center all in the same inning. Struck out in the fifth after he, too, almost had a second home run. Barely foul on the upper deck. 6-6, seventh inning. Bobby Locke to the stretch. And time has been called. And somebody takes a swing at Pearsall. Two men take a swing at Pearsall, and he goes after them. And the police are after them. And the Indian Ball Club is after them. Two kids went out and took a swing at Pearsall, and the whole Indian Ball Club. And the police are out there, and they got them. Jimmy started to pound them, and they got them. Two ran out onto the field and suddenly started swinging. Jimmy dropped one after the other. And the Indian Ball Club got out there in a hurry. And a dozen or more police got right out there. And Mickey Mantle is one that's out there. Mickey went out too. And now the cops have both of the offenders and are hustling them out of the ballpark. And Mantle was out there along with Grissetti. Someone of the two. Have we got any? You got any field glasses here? I think Pearsall may have suffered some abrasion. Wally Bachman's going out, but Jimmy is surrounded. What an offensive thing! Jimmy gets the hand. God bless him. I'll tell you this. I'd hate to be those two fellas. There must have been three quarters. The Indian Ball Club finally got out there on top of them, and Mantle and Grissetti got out there. Fight one another on the field of play, but don't let anybody like that come out, because then they gang up on them. And Jimmy is staying in. just lost his father, you know, this past week. You knew that this had to happen someday, something like that. And I don't mean just to Jimmy, but to anybody with people running on the field. And as stiff as is a fine and the jail term, it will probably be made even stiffer. All of a sudden, I would say they must. They looked to me like about from over 100 yards away. I'd say somewhere around 21 to 25 years old. And Jimmy took them both on, but he didn't have too long. The Indian bullpen emptied. They came out of the dugout, and Mantle was on first base, raced out. Said he came over from third base. Well, it's been a wild day. But you just can't win. But the players play their game. Here's Johnny Blanchard up, two down, Mantle on first. And the pitch swung on, foul back upstairs, strike one. Nothing in one. Buzzing over that incident. Why, I don't know. Why it happened. No balls, one strike. Bobby Locke ready. And the pitch. Way outside. Almost a wild pitch. One and one. One count on Blanchard. Boy, the stadium police moved faster than ever. I mean, they just came out of everywhere. Throw to first, almost a wild one. Vic Power jumps up to grab it. Mantle is standing on the bag. Six all, seventh inning with two outs. Bobby Locke's ready, and the pitch swung on. There's the drive to deep right center, and that ball is going to be caught by Pearsall. It took a home run away from Blanchard. How about that? He leaped up and took a home run away. Listen to hand for Jimmy. Pearsall went all the way over in front of the Yankee bullpen, leaped high into the air, and took a home run away from Johnny Blanchard. And the side is retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one left on at the end of seven innings. Cleveland, 6 runs, 10 hits, no errors. The Yankees, 6 runs, 8 hits, and no errors. Jimmy really climaxed the inning after two people had assaulted him. He just committed highway robbery, which is legal on a ball field. We pause for station identification.
Good Sound Broadcasting for 1961. This is Quality Modern, WOKO, Albany, New York, your Yankee baseball station. The time, 29 minutes past 4 p.m.
The Boston Red Sox lead the Detroit Tigers 8-4 at the end of 6.5 innings. Baltimore 3, Washington nothing at the end of 8. Kansas City 1, Minnesota nothing, end of 2.5. National League, Chicago 6, Philadelphia 1, end of 6. Pittsburgh 3, Milwaukee 1, end of 6. Cincinnati 5, St. Louis 2 at the end of 6.5. Los Angeles nothing, San Francisco batting in the first inning. Now to the 8th, 6 all, and the pick power. Jim Coates for the windup, and the pitch is swung on, lined out into right center for a base hit. Maris takes it on a hop and tosses back into Richardson. Power, double to left, hit a 3-run homer off Coates in the third. Was hit by a pitch ball in the fifth. Opens the 8th with a single to right. That brings up Woody Held with Mike Delahose on deck. Jim Coates in relief of Whitey Ford checks the runner. Here's the pitch, and Held started to bunt and takes it for a strike. No balls, one strike. Boyer shortened up at third. Jim Coates tosses easily over to first. Called. Asked for by Held. Now he's back in. Coates again to the stretch. And the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike two. A switch. No balls, two strikes. Ready. Now the pitch, and it's outside. Ball one, 1-2. A let up curve just off the plate. One ball, two strikes. Power leading away, and throw over. He's back. Into the stretch. Here's the pitch. Swung on. That's a high pop-up out back of second. Richardson backs up. Still goes back under it and has it. One down. And the batter's Mike Delahose. Line to center, single to center, and grounded to third into a double play. Indian bullpen is busy, so is the Yankee bullpen. Throw over to first and Powers back. Is high for a ball. One ball, no strike. Now the delivery inside. Ball two. Two balls, no strike. A 2-0 count. Bobby Locke, the next scheduled batter. Whether he bats or not may depend on what Delahose does. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled off to the right of the plate, out of play. 2-1. one strike. 6-6, eighth inning. One on and one out for the Indians. Delahoe's the right-hand batter. Power moves off first. Here's the pitch. Swung on. There's a looping pop that will be taken by Maris in short right. Power retreats to first. Delahoe lifts a pop-up in a very short right. And now we look toward the Indian bench, and Bobby Locke is coming out. He has done a fine job in relief of Lantman. In fact, Locke has just given up two hits. Second inning with two outs, gave up one hit then, and gave up one hit in the fourth, and that's all. Grounded to short and first. The delivery swung on and missed. Strike one. Johnny Temple is on deck. A 6-6 ball game as we played in the first of the eighth. Pick Power on first base. Stretch by Jim Coates. And the pitch. Swung on, bounced over the head of the pitcher, out over second, into center for a base hit. And that's only Locke's fourth base hit of the season. It had three hits this season, and he bounces one through the middle. And that may be a key base hit with Johnny Temple coming up. Johnny Temple, double to right center, took a third strike, walked and flied to right. Runners on first and second, two down. The pitch to Temple, swung on, hit sharply to short. Kubek up with it, flips on to Richardson to the force out at second, a block. The side's retired. No runs, two hits, no errors, two men left on. Stand at 7.5 innings. Cleveland 6, New York 6.
Beer must be icily light.
Ooh, icily light.
With true lager flavor, precisely right.
Ooh, precisely right.
Lively, golden, crystally clear.
The crisp refresher.
Crisp refresher.
Valentine, Valentine beer.
Pleasure is the purpose of the crisp refresher. Your first swallow and everyone to follow is light and crisp and golden. So pour pleasure. Pour today's Valentine.
Oh, clap your hands. Tap your feet. Snap your fingers. And ask the man for Valentine.
The crisp refresher.
Valentine, Valentine, dear.
Since 1840,
America's finest.
It's the last half, the eighth inning. Elston Howard first up for New York. Bill Scarron on deck and Pete Boyer to follow. Tied at 6-6, and if anyone just tuned in or just got in the car driving along, no M&M homers. Big Power hit a three-run homer. Donnie Blanchard hit a two-run homer. Elston Howard, nothing for three. Bobby Locke's delivery, low outside, ball one. Howard struck out, grounded to third and short, hitting 359. Chapman and Ford were the starters. Locke, the right-hander, into the windup, and the pitch is low again, ball two. 2-0. Nothing pitch. Right in there, 2-1. Next delivery, swung on. There's a fly ball down the right field line going foul, out of play. A 2-2 count. Two pitch. Swung on, hit down back through the middle for a base hit. Kershaw up for the ball, tossing it back in. Elston Howard singles to center to open the eighth inning for New York. Yankees second hit since the second inning. They got all their runs and seven of their eight hits in the second inning. One hit in the fourth, and now one in the eighth. Bill Scarron, double to right center, hit to the box and grounded to third. Bobby Locke into the stretch. And the pitch. High and inside, ball one. Ellie has hit safely in his last eight games. Six all, eighth inning. Throws a lot of sinkers. That's what he'd be throwing up there to Moose. He's ready. And the pitch is inside. Ball two. Two balls, no strikes. And now out of the dugout comes Jimmy Dyke. He may figure, we'll see what he figures. May figure Bobby, who has pitched brilliantly on this hot day since the third inning with two outs. Or rather, the second inning with two outs. May be tiring, but we'll see. He just signaled his bullpen a little bit ago to see if whoever was warming up out there was ready. Got a signal back. So he's going to call someone in. Bobby Locke turned in a great job in relief. Pitching 5 1/3 innings. Nobody out in the eighth. He allowed three hits. Struck out four. And I believe that's Frank Funk coming in. Locke, in Jimmy Dyke's judgment, just simply has begun to tire. Frank Funk will be coming in. And with a 2-0 count on Scarron, he the event he should walk, that walk would be charged to the outgoing pitcher, Locke. Whatever else happens is charged to Funk. A hand now for Bobby Locke. Making his 54th appearance and his third in this series, has a record of 11-10. Yesterday was charged with a defeat. Will next be home the last week of the season with the Orioles and the Red Sox. The Red Sox lead the Tigers 8-4 in the seven innings, and Baltimore defeated Washington 3-2, saving off a center to ninth inning rally of two runs. We're ready to continue. Frank Funk, who has a good assortment of fastballs, curveballs, change of pace, into the stretch. And the pitch. Swung on a high foul beyond first, and the ball is going to be out of play. 2-1. Spot where a batter had his mind made up to be swinging. He figured with the count 2-0, pitcher is going to have to get the ball in the strike zone. 2-1 now. The right-hander into the stretch. Howard moves off first. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike two. Crowded him with a fastball. Strikes. The right-hander ready. And the pitch. Swung on. Little roller. Hit toward third. Delahose up with it. Plays it to first base. In time. Howard advancing to second. A slow roller to third. And Vera had started out of the dugout to hit for Boyer. Went right back in. Maybe he went to get another bat. It's going to be Hector Lopez. I think Ralph Howe quickly figured what could happen anyway. If Lopez does nothing, if you put Barra up with first base open and walking, so rather than just lose a man, sending up Hector Lopez to hit for Boyer. Pitch to Lopez. The Yankee bullpen is busy, and if Lopez doesn't do anything, they may send Yogi up to hit for Coates anyway. And they could still walk him if wanted to. But here's Lopez up with one away. 6-all, 8th inning, and the pitch. swung on and missed. Strike one, nothing in one. Six all. Howard on second, one out. The right-hander to the stretch, and we're ready for the two-strike pitch. Here it is. Swung on and missed. Strike three. So Hector Lopez strikes out. Now Bob Serb's going to come up and bat for Coates. Bob Serb. Hitting 222. Frank Funk. Pitch to serve is inside, ball one. Bobby Richardson on deck. Elston Howard on second with two down in the eighth inning. The Cleveland right-hander set, checking the runner. And the pitch. Sailing high inside for ball two. Two balls, no strikes. Howard moves off second. Here's the pitch, and it's right over. Strike one, 2-1. For the 2-1 pitch to Big Bob. Here it is. Swung on, line to left field for a base hit. Here comes Howard on third and comes on in to score. On a single to left by Bob Dirk. And Billy Gardner going to run for serve. Serve singles home Elston Howard to make it 7-6 New York. Serve's 34th run batted in. And Billy Gardner goes in to run for serve. Bobby Richardson steps up, drew a walk, singles. And flied to left. Now the pitch. Swung on, popped up in the air behind the plate. Romano comes back toward the screen. It's out of play. And you know what? The ball just missed the screen, and Romano
misjudged it. He gave up. He's thinking the ball going to land on the netting, and it just was inches short of it. No balls, one strike. End of the stretch. The right-hander's pitch is swung on, bounced to short, held up with it, flips on to Temple for the force out of Gardner. And the side is retired. One run, two hits, no errors, and one left on. And Luis Arroyo is coming on to the bullpen. At the end of eight innings, New York, seven runs, 10 hits, no errors. Six left on. Cleveland, six runs, 12 hits, no errors, and seven men left on base. Outdoors are in. Summertime's the time to work up a thirst. And when that happens, it's time for Ballantine. Time to take along a six-pack of Ballantine beer. You'll refresh with a crisp refresher. Coming on, and while he does, we look at the scoreboard. Tigers got another run in the eighth inning, and at the end of seven and a half, it's Boston 8, Detroit 5. Cornelius for Conley in the eighth. Mossy star for Detroit, Coplett and Staley in relief. Homers, Bruton, and Yastrzemski. Baltimore beat Washington 3-2. Estrada beat McLean. Brandt and Brooks Robinson homering. Angels 1, the White Sox nothing. End of the first inning, Spring against Pizarro. But in the second inning, Smith and Landis have homered for the White Sox to make it at least 2-1. Lee Thomas homered for the Angels in the first. Kansas City 5, Minnesota nothing. End of 4, Bass against Kralik. Dodder relieved Kralik in the third. National League, Chicago 6, Philadelphia 1. End of 6, Cardwell started for the Cubs. Schultz and Anderson relief in the seventh. Roberts for Philadelphia. Ferretti in the fifth. Callison and Demeter have homered. Demeter, a grand slammer in the seventh inning for the Phils. So it's at least now 6-5. Pittsburgh 3, Milwaukee 2, end of seventh. Sturdivant against Spahn. Spahn homered in the seventh. Cincinnati beat St. Louis 5-2. Bob Perkey beat Sudeikis. Post homer with two on. And San Francisco leads Los Angeles 2-0, end of 2, Lowe's against Williams. Now to the ninth inning. Jimmy Pearsall leads off. Luis Arroyo to the windup, and the pitch swung on, hit to short. Kubek's up with it, throws on to Scarron, one away. Jimmy had one for four, a double, and he took a two-run home run away from Blanchard. Here's Tito Francona. He's had two for four. Arroyo making his 58th appearance, a record of 14-3. Billy Gardner, of course, has taken over third base for Boyer. Tito in there for a strike. Johnny Romano on deck. Now the delivery. Curveball outside. Ball one, one and one. Jim Coates, whom Arroyo relieved, came on the third, nobody out. Pitched six innings, allowed five hits. Was charged with one run, but one hit he gave up was a three-run homer. Two of the men put on by Ford. Next delivery, outside, ball two, two and one. The 2-1 pitch, way outside, ball three. 3-1.
delivery. Swung on and fouled back. Strike two. Full count. Two pitch. Swung on and fouled back out of play. Once again, the windup and the 3-2 pitch. Swung on, fouled off again out of play. Back up third in the upper deck. Ninth inning, one out. Gardner guarding that third baseline. Kubek way over near second. Once again, Louis goes for the windup and the pitch. Swung on, it's a high pop into very short left. Kubek dancing out and makes the catch. So they're two away, and the batter, Johnny Romano, with Willie Kirkland on deck. Romano, single to left, single to center, struck out, grounded to short, driven in two runs. Hitting 299. Here's the pitch on the way. Swung on. A high, high pop foul. Howard moving toward it. 100 and has it. And the ball game is over. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. And the Yankees win their 11th straight game. It's 7-6. We'll have the totals in just a moment.